organisation in the NT is developing culturally safe housing, and the Greens call for more to be done to close the gap. Hello, I'm Harrison Peterson with the National Indigenous News. An organisation in the Northern Territory is developing culturally safe and climate-appropriate housing in remote Aboriginal communities. The project, called Wilya Junta, means standing strong. Its aim is to collaborate between traditional owners, medical professionals and architects to build houses, and the first one will be finished in Tennant Creek this year. The Wires contributor from ACCC's Big Brekkie Show asked the founder of the project, Dr. Simon Quilty, how the idea came up.
My really good mate, Norman Frank Tripurula, taking a stand and against the way that houses are being built by the Northern Territory Government and showing a new way of building houses. And Norm was my neighbour. He lived in a tin shed that was, you know, pretty small, uninsulated, without proper power or water. And he was raising five kids with his partner in that shed. And just the injustice of it stood out. And Norm and I have been talking about housing ever since.
The Greens are calling on the federal government to do more to close the gap, 5 months after the unsuccessful Voice of Parliament referendum. Noah Seckham from National Radio News reports from Canberra.
Today marks National Closing the Gap Day, which brings First Nations issues into focus. Greens leader Adam Bandt says the government should do all it can to support grassroots programs and organisations as requested by Indigenous communities.
They are the ones on the front line able to implement the policies that will actually make a difference and help close the gap.
Mr. Bandt says his party remains committed to achieving truth-telling and treaty outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders are overrepresented in school exclusion rates across multiple jurisdictions. Reporting from the National Indigenous Youth Education Coalition has found that a quarter of students excluded in Queensland and New South Wales public schools were Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, despite accounting for 10% of total enrolments respectively. NIYE CEO Hayley McGuire outlined some of the ways Indigenous students have been historically excluded from learning in the country.
The report really focused on two systemic forms of exclusion, which was just having absolutely no access, you know, so there's no physical access to a school, or being excluded. And so the different ways that Aboriginal people have been excluded was there was policies put in place where if non-Indigenous parents complained to the school that they didn't want their kids to go to school with Aboriginal kids, then the principals and stuff could remove them. So those are different ways. Or if they were, you know, living more than X amount of miles from the school, they're exempt from the compulsory clause of going to school.
Youth disability advocates are calling for guaranteed access to inclusive education as part of draft reforms to early childhood care put forward by Independent MP Zoe Daniel. The draft legislation aims to introduce 52 weeks of paid parental leave, at least 10 child health checks a year, and 3 days a week of childcare and $10 a day for lower income households. Ashley Keating from Children and Young People with Disability Australia says education providers also need to be better equipped to help all students.
We see a lot of situations where the supports that are in place, if there are supports in place, I do stress, are very focused on trying to fix the child. We at SIDA are very much about making sure that the child is able to be included in their everyday community environments.
Beijing will give the green light for a pair of pandas to remain at Adelaide Zoo. Funi and her partner, Wang Wang, have been on loan from China since 2009. Despite the best attempts of zoo staff to coax the pair to reproduce, the pitter-patter of baby panda paws has not been forthcoming, prompting concerns the Chinese government would decline to extend the lease beyond 2024. But Foreign Minister Penny Wong has confirmed the likely continuation of panda presence at the Adelaide Zoo after meeting with her Chinese counterpart, Wang Yi. And that is the latest NIRS news. To stay up to date with us, you can follow us on Instagram or like us on Facebook. And if you've got a news tip you would like us to follow, you can hit up news@nirs.org.au. I'm Harrison Peterson. Thanks for listening.
Hi, my name is Emily Woodamara, and you're listening to the National Indigenous Radio Service.
Have you heard? Medicines just got cheaper for a lot of ongoing health conditions. Some medicines on the PBS can now be prescribed for 60 days at once, giving you twice the medication on a single prescription.
Which saves me money and trips to town.
Have a yarn to your doctor or health worker to see if a 60-day prescription is right for you, or visit health.gov.au/cheapermedicines. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Station sponsor.
What do you want to do for the rest of your life?
I'm 17. I don't know that. Ask me what I want to do next. Practical courses with flexible choices. To start a diploma and start earning faster. And maybe move on to a uni degree.
Help them do what feels right for right now. At TAFE Queensland. Applications now open. RTO 0275 PRV 13003.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev. Going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. As BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional interests, the beautiful country of ours. Welcome, Black, to National Talk Black, have your say, and Yarn Up Strong, you mob. I will state a big shout-out to all our mob across this beautiful nation of ours. National Close the Gap Day is today, 21 March. And in actual fact, that's every day, 365 days a year, I would say. National Close the Gap Day. Still got a lot of gaps to close. There's a big widespread to our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters in regard to employment, education, housing, and all the above. So a lot of work still to be done, but let's acknowledge National Close the Gap Day, 21 March. Maybe you want to talk about this space. All is here on your daily program, National Talk. Maybe you want to talk about the kickoff season for the NRL or the AFL, talk football. Or maybe you want to talk about what's happening with your organisation or with your mob. Either way, all is here on your daily program, National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have survived. No fixed address here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Oh, as I mentioned earlier, National Close the Gap Day is today, 21 March. As I mentioned, Close the Gap Day, National Close the Gap Day, should be 365 days a year. A lot of gaps to be closed and a lot of work to be done. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Susan Teagan, Chief Executive of the National Rural Health Alliance. And talk about healthcare equity is one step to close the gap for rural First Nations people. And on the line, we have Susie. Susie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
Good. Good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based?
Well, actually, today I'm in Canberra.
In Canberra.
The sitting week.
Okay, sitting week. There it is. Just let the people know, who you mob, where you from, Susie?
Susie Teagan, National Rural Health Alliance.
Okay, how long have you held that reins for, Susie?
I've worked in rural, remote and regional Australia for the last 30 years, including in Alice Springs and Darwin.
Yes.
But I'm... in this role, I've been for about a year and a bit.
Okay. Enjoying that journey?
I am.
Good.
Well, it's such an important area, you know. 61% of Aboriginal people live in rural, remote and regional Australia.
Mm-hmm.
30% of the Australian population lives in those regions. So, you know, we need to look after them.
Exactly. Exactly, because they're out in the sticks, let's not forget about them. Very important. Exactly, all Australians. So we're talking about healthcare equity is one step to close the gap for the rural First Nations people. So enlighten us, please, Susie.
Sorry, what was that?
Sorry, enlighten us. We're talking about the healthcare equity.
Enlighten us, yes.
Yeah, thank you,
so
please.
So thank you. First of all, the Alliance takes a real stand on closing the gap.
Yes.
And the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Health Plan, and because it's really important, we really need to achieve health care equity for First Nations people, especially for the almost 61% of people living in rural, regional and remote Australia. And it has to be a priority because the disparities in health compared to non-Indigenous populations, in particular in metropolitan areas, is enormous.
Enormous.
And we cannot continue to allow this gap not to be addressed.
Exactly. And Susie, we're talking all facets, aren't we? We're talking education, we're talking housing, employment, all the above, health, life expectancy, all the above, aren't we?
Well, we are. I mean, the interesting thing is, in terms of children who are enrolled in secondary education, by the time they get to year 11, you've got 77% staying at school. And by the time they get to year 12, it's 57%.
Yeah.
So there is an issue that needs to be addressed to make sure that Aboriginal kids have the same opportunities and continue to, you know, have the opportunities in their career.
Mm. So the government's dropping the ball in so many areas, aren't they?
Yeah, so the gap that we have in life expectancy between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people is 6.8 years for males and 6.5 years for females in rural areas. And that goes to 12.4 years for males and females if the more remote you come. Mm. So addressing the health workforce shortage is one of the issues we need to address, and that is really about supporting the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community-controlled organisations and making sure that they are supported to meet the targets for the reform. But in addition to that, we need to make sure that we're spending the time and the money and the support on young kids that are at school, so that they consider health and medical careers in future.
Yep.
And the Indigenous Allied Health Australia organisation, Australian Indigenous Doctors Association, Leviches Institute's Action to Advance Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Leadership, and then MALPA project that works with primary schools to ensure that people actually think about health and medical careers. You know, you can't be something if you can't see it.
Well, exactly.
And so, you know, there's some really great initiatives and they need to be supported to continue the opportunities for Aboriginal kids in rural communities so that we can increase our medical and health workforce for rural, remote and regional Australia.
So the success breeds success. And if you look at some, such a simple system, educate our kids, take them further into tertiary education. They come back qualified, nurses, doctors, what have you, working back in their community. That's a deadly system and a simple system if you look at it.
Well, exactly. And we need to recruit people, yes, like Aboriginal kids from those communities and allow them to train in the rural training programs. Mm. So, because many of them don't want to leave country.
Yes.
Many of them want to be around their family. But we also need to support and increase the understanding of the mobs so that they can support their children. Because if you don't know what it takes to go through a university system, of course you're going to be, you know, worried that your kids are going to go away. And, I mean, obviously, if they need support, well, then it'll be there. And so it needs to be very much grassroots-led.
Yes.
It needs to be planned with the communities. And that is how you keep and you train people in your regions.
So like I said, a simple system, so to speak. So any money spent in this area by government, taxpayers' money, it's not an expense, that's investment, is it not, Susie?
Well, it's an investment in the future.
Yes.
I mean, the costs downstream, if we kept Aboriginal people out of a hospital setting, which isn't a nice setting for many of them,
exactly,
from a historical perspective, if we keep people out of hospital because we are screening, because we're training our future workforce, because we are working with them to look at their local population health need, then you are actually keeping people out of an expensive and a system that they actually don't want to be part of.
Yes.
And so, you know, it really needs to be very much grassroots-led. And that's another reason why the National Rural Health Alliance has supported home ownership by Aboriginal people, in particular in rural, remote and regional Australia, where there's capacity for them to be supported to buy their own home. Because there's something about owning your own home. There's something about having a pride of place.
Exactly.
And there's plenty of overcrowding. So, you know, people should be able to have access to buying houses.
And we're talking necessity here. We're talking the 21st century. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. We're not a third world country.
Thank you. And some of our people are living third world standards, aren't they?
Well, absolutely.
Yep.
Aboriginal people and mainstream people in rural, remote and regional Australia are often treated like a last-minute afterthought.
Yep.
They're included in the minority group discussion, and it's one of the first things that goes when you're negotiating at a table.
Yes.
And so what we're saying is we're tired of it.
Yep.
People in those communities and Aboriginal people are tired of it, and we have some solutions that we would like to work with the government on to make sure that the access to education, the access to healthcare, and the access to housing, which all lead to better health outcomes and better economic outcomes, are supported.
Susie, thank you for the yarn. Very important. And the fact that we're having this yarn on the National Close the Gap Day, 21 March, look, that's more empowerment, more meat on the bone, so to speak. But thank you for your yarn and big shout out to National Rural Health Alliance and the work that they're doing, your team. And thank you for the yarn. And we'll talk soon, Susie.
Oh, we really appreciate your time. And this is a very important report and we very much support it.
Lovely. Thank you, Susie. You take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There it is. Susie Teagan, her name is, Chief Executive of the National Rural Health Alliance. And we're talking about healthcare equity is one step to close the gap for the rural First Nations people. And look, some horrific numbers, but as we all know, the numbers are pretty high in regarding closing the gap in all facets, employment, education, health, housing, all the above. And like I said, it's 21st century, and here we are in a first world country, and some of our people live in the third world standards. Not good at all. So any money, any taxpayer money going towards rural health is not an expense, it's investment. There it is. Have you say, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Thinking about your body next to mine, butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember. Hey, you mob, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Making love with all our might.
Well, I see you tonight, Archie Roach, with us in spirit. Too beautiful, that song. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yana Armstrong, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking you live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on the Ndiji Country, BBM, Bummer Bip and Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Their leading arts training organisations come together in cultural and creative collaboration. Two of Australia's leading arts training organisations have come together this week as part of an important established collaboration program that is shaping the nation's cultural and creative landscape. In an intensive week-long collaborative program taking place this week, NASDA and the National Institute of Drama Arts, NIDA, have come together. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Sister Katina Olson, freelance choreographer, movement director, dance and actor, and is the lead artist for the NASDA-NIDA collaboration. So we have Katina on the line. Katina, good morning. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm good. Sister, thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know. Who you mob? Where you from, sis?
Great. I'm Katina Olson. I was born on Dhurrumbul Country in Rockhampton, but now I'm living on Gubbi Gubbi Country. My mob are Waka Waka, which is like 2 hours west of Bundaberg. That's my great-grandfather's country.
Yes.
And also Kumbumeri, so that's the Gold Coast area. That's my great-grandmother's country there.
Beautiful footprint. Thank you very much. And look, thank you for coming to the program. Togetherness. Okay. Here we go. Togetherness. And we're talking NASDA and we're talking NIDA coming together. So explain this space and this platform and give us a bit of background in your journey, sister.
Yeah, totally, totally. So I was invited by NASDA to come and help facilitate this collaborative week. So it's where NASDA and NIDA come together. So we've got about 6 director students from NIDA and about 8 designer students as well from NIDA. And then I think there's about 12 PA and DA, that stands for practicing artists and developing artists from NASDA.
Okay.
And they all get to come together for this week of collaboration and yarns and sessions with really incredible leading artists and practitioners.
I'm pitching a bowl of fruit. I'm pitching fruit salad.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking of all this information, all this talented people at the one table. I mean, too deadly.
It's really awesome. Yeah, and it's really about coming together and like working out, I mean, for the NIDA students, it's really about stretching their practice to learn about different cultural practices.
Sure.
If they come from a non-Indigenous background, haven't had access or experience with that. Cross-cultural storytelling and, like, deconstructing the hierarchy of Eurocentric performance making. You know, we might work in, like, these hierarchical structures where there's one boss and then everyone does what they say underneath, but this week's more about like how can we equal that collaborative space and really work together in an equal space, or what does it mean if you're more of a louder voice to step back and let the softer voices come forward.
Sure.
Yeah, so I love that it's really about this walking together. How do we do that together? Because when you're out there working as an artist, it's really about how you work together and how you do that walk together, how you make everything together. Yeah.
So, exactly. Yeah, so does this happen often, or is this the first time this has happened, Katina?
I think this started in 2019. I wasn't working on this project since then. I know the wonderful Vicky Van Hoot has been a facilitator in prior years, but I took the role on as facilitator last year.
Good.
And this year as well. So they've been doing this program once every year. They bring all the students and DAs and PAs together for this time. Yeah. So
after the yarn, does something come out of it? I mean, you did it last year. So is there a performance or show that comes out of it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, as we've been working with all the students and all the participants, we've been trying to really emphasize play and exploration with making.
Yes.
And don't worry too much about the outcome, but there is an outcome. Tomorrow there will be a showing where people can come and watch what they've gotten up to for the week.
Good.
But again, we've tried to emphasize with the participants that, you know, that can take any form. It doesn't have to be a polished performance. they can share what they've done throughout the week. They can show excerpts of that. Yeah, so there will be, yeah, tomorrow arvo, sometime after lunch. I think it's around 2 o'clock.
And where do you guys meet, Katina?
We're working on Dark and Young Country. Mm-hmm. So NAISDA has these incredible facilities here. So there's a number of studios and spaces cool. that we've been working in. Yeah, so we've been really fortunate to have this country hold us and nurture us while we explore what that means, you know, to make new work together, find new collaborations. Yeah.
And collaboration is great. Like I said, we are all students for life. We come to the table with an open mind Thank and for you. The learning, and there it is. So thank you for sharing yeah. with us, Katina, and congratulations.
No
Big
worries.
Shout out to all the mob from both corporations. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing. Please keep in touch. And Katina, Thank we'll you. Yarn soon, my sister.
Thank you so much, Trevor.
And
we'll
keep
talk
smiling.
Soon.
For sure. Bye bye.
Yeah, we'll do. See ya. Bye.
Deadly Yanda, Katina Olsen, her name is, and she's the she's the leader in regard to the arts training organisation, which is bringing together the NAISDA and NIDA group, and look fantastic, and to Australia's leading arts training organisation, and they come together for this week and part of an important and established collaboration program that is shaping the nation's culture and creative landscape. So very good. Space of a good platform, you say good stage, you could say, in regard to the performance. So it is a team effort. Fantastic. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. 26 minutes left on the program. And got the news coming up with via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Big shout out to the NERS team. And don't forget, National Close the Gap Day is today, 21 March. And let's think of all our mob out there. And we need to close the gap with long life expectancy, education, housing. Employment, all the above.
name is me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Well, I love him and I leave him, I guess in every town. Cause I don't want no woman, woman, forever hanging around. No harm in heading up a line and a lot of little white lines have some fun. Then before they realize I moved on to another town where I don't want no woman around. I don't want no woman around to tell me what I'm doing, cramming my style, bringing me to ruin. If I'm going downhill, I'll take my own road down. I don't want no woman around. I don't want no woman around. Tell me what I'm doing, cramming my style, bringing me to ruin. If I'm going downhill, I'll take my own road down. I don't want no woman around. When I want a high step around, then a woman's alright. But I just can't stand her around from morning till night. That's why I string him some tail, and when they believe them, that's the time. I kiss them and I leave them, safety in numbers I have found. Cause I don't want no woman around. Oh, I don't want no woman around. Tell me what I'm doing, cramping my style, bringing me to ruin. If I'm going downhill, I'll take my own road down. I don't want no woman around.
Mick Thorda, you don't want no woman around. Well, how? Shut up. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yan up strong, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Yan with the Bullywan here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Nation Valley Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Big shout out to Jack Thomas. I know you listen, my brother. Big shout out, and Yan up strong there, texting back and forth. I was going to say, my brother, you want my bank details? We can yarn that way. Shut up. Hope you're well, brother, and keep in touch, brother. Other yarns we've got here. Let's look at the news for today. What's happening in ABC News? Two bear locals fire up at secret plan transfer 95% of tiny outback town to Aboriginal owners. A war of words has erupted in a tiny outback town over a secret plan to hand over 95% of the land to Aboriginal owners. A war of words has erupted in a tiny outback town where locals claim they have been blindsided by plans to hand over 95% of their community to an Aboriginal corporation as freehold. Toobear, a town of around 30 residents in the Darling Downs region on the border of New South Wales, nearly 400 kilometres southwest of Brisbane, has emerged as the centre of the latest fight over Indigenous land rights following the failed voice referendum. Residents claim they were not consulted on discussions between the Goondiwindi Regional Council and the Queensland Labor Government to hand over 220 hectare Toobear reserve to the Bingable Native Title Aboriginal Corporation, BNTAC. The Goondiwindi Regional Council and the Queensland Government, in conjunction with the Bingable Aboriginal Corporation, have been doing a plan to give away all of their own Crown land around our town, said Michael Offendi, 38, who owns the Toobear Hotel. Our town common, and radio ground, town hall, town dump. We've only got like 12 to 14 houses in our town. We don't have sewage, portable water, anything. They've been doing this plan up. It's been a secret. No community consultation. Toobear Reserve, which also houses a pipe bringing water to the town, has long been used as a recreational area by residents, despite officially being gazetted to use only by livestock. So there's the argument. And so fight the good fight, that's what it's all about. Have you saying Jan Upstrong here, National Talk Black. All right, we're going to catch up Jan there with Joe, First Nations Wee Ye Thangani Institute launch, and talk about that. And we do have Joe on the line, Joanne. No, we don't have Joanne. We're going to get Joanne on the line and talk about this space. Joanne is going to be giving us information about this space. I think we'll try again with Joanne. Joanne, you there? Good morning.
Yes.
Hey, Joanne, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. And yourself?
I'm good. Sister, thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, sis.
My name's Jo Kelly, proud Dungari girl from Kempsey, New South Wales.
Okay, fantastic. So we're talking about the Wee Ye Thangani Institute launch.
Yep.
Is that what we're talking about? Yes?
Yes, we are.
So tell about this space and tell us about the launch, please, my sister.
So, had a wonderful opportunity to spend a couple of days in Canberra with amazing women to look at how can we change the landscape and capacity build our community,
yes,
but also from a space where we're in Canberra as the Institute itself, and how do we get that out regionally across Australia so that women's voices and young women's voices are being heard,
yes,
in a space of collective impact.
Yeah, powerful. Yes. And you've got a fantastic leader when we talk about June Oscar, AO, sister leader from the front, very powerful. And girls can do anything. I'm an advocate of women, and it's fantastic to see to take the reins in all facets, whether it be chairperson, whether it be business owners, whether it be front and centre, and regarding traditional ownership. Yes.
Yes. Annie Jean is an amazing woman. Mm. She's been leading this process for a number of years now. So the conversation hasn't just started overnight.
Mm.
She, particularly yesterday when we were in a workshop, she talked about how the first conversation of women happened in 1986, and we had some of those women that were there with us yesterday in the design process, talked about that engagement and how, it waited until last year when we had a national summit with some of those voices again.
Yeah.
So, we had a couple of decades in between, but now it's about how do we amplify the voice, how do we give business opportunities back to our women and young women.
Yes.
And address all these social disadvantages that we currently have in our communities.
Mm, exactly. And look, here we are, the 21st century. Things don't change and things don't change. So it's for all our beautiful women out there, rise, stand up, and we brothers should be supporting you and standing behind you in that degree.
Yeah, and it's about the fact that we have solutions in our own community,
yes,
but we're not asked about those solutions.
Yes.
There's an assumption that everybody else knows what's best for us, but we do have to amplify our voice to say, no, this is best for our community. Because what happens in my community is very different to what happens in other communities across Australia.
Exactly. It's not one size fits all, is it?
Yeah, no, it's not one size fits all, and that's the stuff that governments need to understand.
True.
And support, and the fact that Australian National University have acknowledged that this is a way of moving forward and making a commitment to First Nations and gender equity across Australia.
Yeah, fantastic. So how long have you guys been meeting over a week, have you?
The launch was on Tuesday night.
Okay.
And then we met yesterday just to start the conversation of what it is, what's the framework. So the Gender Equity Unit has its black print.
Yes.
And rather than blueprint, we're saying it's our black print now.
Yes, I love that.
And moving forward.
Yeah.
But it's about how do we want the unit to not only just be in Canberra, but how do we operationalise it and mobilise it so that me sitting in Kempsey can still access the unit and the unit can access me in Kempsey as well,
exactly,
as well as other aunties and uncles and sisters across Australia.
Yeah, across Australia, exactly. Well, a beautiful platform, fantastic foundations. Thank you for your yarn there, Joanne. Big shout out to the sisters, and hello to Annie June Oscar AO as well, my sister.
Yes, so thanks for the quick yarn.
Yeah, and all the best, and keep doing it, and we'll be in touch.
Sounds good. Thanks,
Joanne. Bye-bye. Little yarn there, that's Joanne, and Joanne is with the Wee Ye Thangani Institute, which they've launched there, and leading the launch there, Deadly Auntie June Oscar AO, and introduced the vehicle of governments to act on the findings of the multi-year systemic change. So look, very, very deadly. Girls can do anything. I'm an advocate for deadly women out there. So keep doing what you're doing, girls, and us boys need to shut our mouth, stand behind them, support them, and what the old phrase, high tide rises all ships. We need to get it together, together, people. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. 8 minutes left on the program, National Talk Black.
Goulburn Jail's a lonesome place at night. Yes, Goulburn Jail's a lonesome place at night. The moonlight turns these dirty walls to white. Dreaming every day of a love so.
National Talk Black got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, mate. How are you? You're in two hot seats at once, ain't
you? Two hot seats, one here in the hot seat for National Talk Black and then the hot seat for the local government. Yeah, still in the race, counted and neck and neck with Jeremy Neal and made the best person win. Yeah.
Yeah. I know, and it's been a long time. I want to get quickly to saying, I've got a couple of minutes, mate. It relates to the green patch.
Yes.
We're trying to open the gap in the gates.
Yeah, we're talking about closing the gap. You want to open the gap. Yes, I hear you.
In the river, mate, because it's good for all our mentality in the town to be able to go down the river and be in the shade. And it's a wreck down there. Mm. About 2 years ago, they were saying in a paper, a short article, I really want to read it out, mate. It relates to the green patch and how it's managed. Mm-hmm. Very short thing. I think it came out on the 27th of the 3rd. 21 or 1922, either in the Cairns Post or Cairns Local News, so people want to look it up. Mm-hmm. But it said, Mayor Bob Manning this week revealed an unexpected decision for someone who prides himself on steering the city in the direction he wants. He announced his appointment to a committee looking at the viability of the Mulgrave Mill, sugar mill that is, which he said would make him conflicted for any matters relating to the sugar industry that come before the council. The new gig will rule him out of voting on any development of sugar farming land. And the green patch is in the middle of cane farms there. The new gig will rule him out of voting on any development of sugar farming land within the mill's catchment, which only leaves Brock Mellor, him, Division 1 councillor, including major subdivisions in Mount Peter and elsewhere in the city. Because we've heard he wants to get water out of the Mulgrave, and the rumour is he's feathering his own nest, so whether he gets in or not.
He's now resigned. He's stepped away from table. So that conversation probably need to be had, need to be opened up once again at the table.
Yeah, I heard he was reserving his right to stay as deputy mayor until he knew who the mayor was going to be, because he wants to shelter under his unity division team umbrella, right?
Yeah, no, he's resigned. He's moved on. And the incumbent mayor, Mr. Terry James, it looked like losing his seat to Amy Eden. So I think there'll be new conversations going on.
Yeah. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, mate. It's beeping. Yeah, it's showing if anybody works. So that's what I'm saying, is that I thought that he wouldn't care if he won or not, because he's got this development we've heard and the water going out that we don't think is going to Cairns. It's going to some development on the south side. And the gates are shut there, and we can't get down to the river to even have a swim. But we want to know what's going on the Mulgrave.
We want to know what's going on, yes. So that conversation we had, yes.
And if the deals were done with somebody that is supposed to be an amalgamated council, when the Cairns mayor says, he's saying, free range, he can be a dictator and do what he likes to these lands, and it's all secret business, so we don't know. That's good he resigned. That's the best news I've ever heard. But, we want our green patch open for the mental health of the community.
Yes.
And restore the glory of the green patch and our rights down there.
We'll probably find out in a week's time who the actual councillors are and who the mayor is going to be. A new council, a new new people at the table. So conversations need to be going on. Tony, I hear in the background, you've got an echo going on. Sorry, Tony, there's back echo in the background and I can hear myself. Sorry, Tony. We're going to close up here very soon anyway. But, yeah, when you're ringing, just keep the radio down. Keep the radio off. That'd be great. But Trinity Trevor's going to sign off for today's program. Your mob, thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. 24-7, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550. Don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. But don't touch that dial. Got the news coming up soon via NERS, National Radio Service. And big shout-out to the NERS team. Thank you very much. And we'll talk soon, your mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.
Everybody wants true love to hold on through the night. Everybody wants true love, loved until they die. Well, my baby, you're my new love, and I'm gonna treat you right. 'Cause I'm gonna name here with me to walk on through this life, to having to hold, having to hold. Touch the part of me that's spinning out of control, having to hold, having to hold. Everyone needs someone to having to hold. Hear them talk about the last love, one that never tried. Hear them talk about the last love, one that cheated and lied. Well, my baby, you're my new love, and I know you'll be true. 'Cause your track record speaks for itself. There's some things you won't do to have them to hold. Touch the part of me that's spinning out of control, having to hold, having to hold. Everyone needs someone to having to hold. Everybody wants true love to hold on through the night. Everybody wants true love, to love them till they die. Well, my baby, you're my new love, and I'm gonna treat you right. 'Cause I'm gonna need you here with me to walk on through this life, to have